Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Yo, this is Shogun Jones and you are listening to Vegas Bad Boy Podcast.
Three count. Let's get with the topics. And let's start with our first one from denofgeek.com. It is titled, Is MJF Ready for the AEW Title? Now, what makes him write this story is he's beginning to see that AEW is finding themselves falling into the same traps as WWE. And that is the booking feels directionless and without any continuity. So let's see if he's got some points on what he's talking about here. He talks about how MJF is set to challenge Jon Moxley at the All Out pay-per-view next month. MJF is a future star, there's no doubt, but AEW has done little to get him ready for a main event push. Again, in a company where wins and losses matter, and where there are rankings and supposedly a strict system to who gets title shots and who doesn't, MJF's record just doesn't seem worth a world title match. And it says that although he hasn't been pinned or have submitted, I mean, he's only had matches against Lee Johnson, Marco Stunt, Jungle Boy, Billy Gunn, and Griff Garrison, which, you know, it's, I mean, the question he's asking is that worthy of a top five ranking and an AEW world title match. So the other wins that he's gotten back in the day against Cody or Adam Page was at Revolution or Dynamite, which were last year. So, bottom line, he says, look, it's, hold on, lost my throat. Okay. So it says that, being that AEW, being that it relies on these particular records and all, it's to the point that AEW should have done more on television to get MJF ready for this spot. And, you know, perhaps maybe even a more recent win over an Adam Page, you know, who's currently in a tag team anyway. Or he could have beaten Cody again in a non-title match, you know, or even Dustin Rhodes or Luchasaurus, Matt Hardy, Pentagon or Phoenix, just somebody out there would get a higher spot card to show that he is worthy for this. So it all comes down to writing. So guys, I'm just curious. We all know that MJF, when it comes down to him holding his own on that mic, he can. And even match-wise, you may even believe he has. But story-wise, being that we haven't seen a lot of matches that he won against people who hold top spots in the company, do you think he's really ready for the world title? I don't know. What do you think? Simon Street, I mean, let's go with you, man. I mean, what's your take on that?
In my opinion, I mean, it is a good point. You know, the author of this article did make a good point, mm-hmm. You know, but only just the point. I think MJF offers so much more at the table that I think that you can kind of bypass some of that. I will say that I'd like to see him have some more matches before he gets, you know, what he deserves. But
he's
I
not.
Like what he's
not
up with so far. I mean, okay. Even when he had his injury, he was still, you know, on TV. He was still a face that you saw. He still did a good job of contributing to the storyline and whatnot. And he also had an extension of himself with Wardlow, which I think really helped out a lot with keeping him on TV too. I mean, my vote is he's good. He don't need all that extra shit.
Well, you know, and I don't think, I mean, Autumn One is not taking anything away from the idea of him being good. We all know that. But I think what the author is saying is you should at least have some sort of a presentation where it shows you're building yourself up to handle that particular title. And it almost seems like that you're going from, you rarely have matches, but when you do, they're against people who are not at a level that they should, you know, grant you that title match. So I don't know, Sin City, what's your particular take on that? You believe he's ready for this particular title match?
Without question. And especially if you look at the past track record of the people who've been challenging for the AEW World Championship.
Okay.
If you've got people like Lance Archer coming in, you got people like Brody Lee coming in, you got people like Brian Cage coming in.
Yep.
Who exactly have they defeated on TV before they got their World Championship match?
Okay, good point.
Okay. So, I mean, the thing is, the way that I view this is they are taking a legitimate heel contender. And if nothing else, this could play into it. You know, oh, MJF, you haven't done shit to deserve a championship match.
Yeah.
And then his simple response to that is, I don't give a shit. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, it plays into the heel being awarded a championship match for literally nothing. So I have no problems with it. And in fact, I say you put the title on him probably because you have a Darby Allin turn on Moxley. Maybe break the skateboard over Moxley's head. Michaels, you had a great idea with that. Do it. Go right on ahead with it. And if nothing else, that gets Moxley off of TV for a couple of weeks. Now, mind you, the period where Mox was in quarantine, AEW lost in the ratings to NXT. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
So it's been commented on this show that John Moxley is not a ratings driver for whatever reason. But the fact is, he was gone for a couple of weeks. He was in quarantine because of Renee. Okay. Those 2 weeks that he was at home, those just happened to be the 2 weeks that NXT beat AEW in the ratings. And you've had Moxley on the show the last couple of weeks, and what has happened? Oh, that's right. They beat the dog shit out of him in the ratings.
Dog.
I don't think it's
the dog shit.
Yeah, the dog shit.
They beat him by 150,000 people.
Yeah,
150,000 viewers.
150,000 people. Wait. If they would have beaten them, if they would have drawn the million, again, that's what they need to be drawing.
They're closer than...
Great. They're closer. That's wonderful. NXT doesn't need it. AEW does need it.
Okay.
Number two, the difference of only a couple hundred thousand, you're not talking too much. If they would have been beating the snot out of them like WCW used to beat WWF...
Now, of course, if we're talking about the demographics, then that would be a way that people could view them as beating the dog shit out of them. Because in the 18 to 49 demographic, they have been doubling or sometimes tripling NXT's numbers. But I'm just going to say.
They should. And they should be.
They should be.
Be a company that did because Young Bucks, the Bullet Club, were selling merchandise out of Hot Topic. You know, so they should be getting that fucking audience all the time. You know, that's not the problem. The problem is my fucking internet connection.
Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't going to say anything.
But, you know what?
Even your internet service provider knows that you're talking out of your ass right now, so I wanted to calm you down.
Not at all. Because of the fact that, again... You show me that they're doing over a million constantly, then that shows the progress. All right. I mean,
so what does?
I mean, they're back. They're back to pre-pandemic levels as far as their viewership. Okay, so if they don't hit a million viewers a week, then that's a loss for them. Come on.
Absolutely,
now.
Steve. They should have always had over a million views. Absolutely. They should never be dipping under a million. You want to talk like they're a big fucking company.
I don't.
Like, give me the big goddamn fucking numbers.
Dude, I have said from the fucking beginning that they are an alternative to WWE. Okay.
He has done that.
And that's what they fucking are. They're counterculture. Okay. They are not WWE. They will not be WWE for the foreseeable future. But
that's fine.
They're beating even the third tier WWE program, then in my view, that is a win.
But you keep talking this game with a smug little fucking face of, oh, you know, well, they're beating NXT. It's NXT. The problem is it's not a competition. They need to establish their own fucking selves. And especially because the guy who signed them to the deal is no longer working for Turner as of this week. The guy who signed the contract extension to 2024 is no longer working for the network. If they don't deliver numbers for the network now, you don't have a rah-rah cheerleader behind you, Steve. They need to start building that base and keeping that number over a million views to stay safe. They also need to do that to build more people, newer audience. That's not what they've done so far, Steve. And we do have a great debate coming up, AEW versus WWE. So that was all done for promo, ladies and gentlemen.
Segway.
And that's with that,
I can't wait to watch that shit.
And with that, let's get back a little bit to our topic going to MJF.
Let's get back to the topic, DJ. Let's get back to the real topic. Here's the thing. DJ, why'd you choose this topic? This writer is just awful, man. Of course MJF deserves the title. Who the fuck cares about the record? He's the most entertaining fucking thing probably in all of wrestling right now.
So let me ask you, Matt Michaels, hold down and drink some water like Sin City Steve just did. The writer did say that hopefully, okay, everything that we ran down earlier that he's talking about with this whole situation, that hopefully this doesn't become a trend for AEW, whose booking is supposed to be strict and disciplined. Remember, okay, it's supposed to be strict and disciplined.
If the guy sells fucking money, if he sells tickets, if he sells merchandise, if he's fucking entertaining, then put him on the fucking level of the top guys and don't worry about the fact that he's 0-6 or 2-7 or 0-0. As Steve very smartly pointed out, these guys have been put into title pictures with no fucking record. This guy who wrote this article is trash. You know what we should have been talking about is the fact that Marty Jannetty killed a gay man years ago.
Yeah.
And that's a huge news item. But this guy decided to write, not you, DJ, but the guy who wrote this, I'd write about MJF not being really a person for the title at this moment because his record doesn't establish it. Come on.
and I will point out that the writer of this story just happened to have the last name of McMahon, so you know.
That is true.
And that's the guy who is behind the
retribution. It all comes full circle.
There you go. Well, my brain hurts. Let's go on. That to doesn't the next take one.
Well, let's drop over then to our second count. And that one is from ringsidenews.com, and it's asking, will WWE could face big problems with Raw Underground's future? And what the author is saying is that, of course, they debuted this new segment, and, you know, there are fans that of course, there's some that love it, and there's some that hate it as usual. He did also mention that the third hour did see some very huge ratings from that. But apparently there was a Q&A at F4W Online, and Lance Storm brought up a big issue that WWE will face down the line regarding Raw Underground, you know, if it just really becomes popular. And what he's saying is the segments, they're very short, and those fights have ended quickly. If they need to present a longer fight, it might contradict what they've already shown. It could also take away from the actual wrestling once those superstars return to the ring. So it is some interesting points. We didn't get a chance to talk about the overall our thoughts of Raw Underground. So let's talk about that as well. But Dusty makes a pretty good point, because as they introduced this and we were watching this, we saw several, if you want to call them matches or beatdowns, that lasted, I don't think any of them lasted longer than 60 seconds. And a lot of them looked like that, you know, whoever they were fighting against was taking a beating. And if you're in that situation where this person is beating up this person that, you know, is taking you 60 seconds, then the following week, you're now doing a match and it's now taking you 20 minutes. According to Lance Storm, he's saying that's where he sees the conflict can be. It can be a really good thing of the way Raw Underground is presented, but then it starts to show where the issues. What's your guys' take overall just on Raw Underground new segment? Because we haven't talked about that. And what are your points on what was written from Lance Storm? Let me start with you, Matt Michaels. What was your take?
So it's a concept. Mm-hmm. Listen, the way it was kind of spliced up awkwardly didn't really help the overall presentation of it. I do like the fact that Shane McMahon even referred to the one guy as "you guy." it was like no names or anything, just this guy versus the guy we want to establish. I think the big guy was the guy who we just saw as the ninja, right? The huge dude, I believe. Yeah, I thought he was the huge ninja, which is great. I mean, that was kind of cool. Well, here's a guy that you don't know. You get established a little bit. Nice introduction. But the problem they're going to have is really what it comes down to is they were using guys like the Viking. So you have a gimmick with the Viking Raiders. What are you doing then putting them in this, where this is, it's just not smart of using the guys who already have characters.
Mm-hmm.
Establish younger guys. Establish tougher guys. Bring in a fucking MMA guy or two, you know, and really make it a dirty, also make it a dirty fucking underground fighting thing. I saw no fucking cash.
Thank you.
Bad, man. You know, serve some drinks. You know, where was the alcohol?
Where they had the strippers.
Yeah, strippers. They wasn't getting paid.
So make it, you know, if you're going to go that way, go fucking all the way. Very reminiscent of Shotgun Saturday Night. Yep. But using FSW, they did Natural Born Killers. Great concept. They've done two of them. MVP, ironically, was in the main event of the last one and, you know, comes downstairs with the faction. And they – see, that's the other thing. How come those guys come down and just beat everyone up? So there's a little confusion on what this actually is.
Okay.
As soon as we get more establishment of what it is, great. Lance has got a little bit of a point there. Becomes too popular, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you might be talking. See, that's why I would love to see like an established guy like Dolph Ziggler go down there 5 weeks from now. And maybe lose to a guy that you've built up. And now Dolph says, okay, you might have kicked my ass here, but let's go upstairs where the real boys play.
Yeah.
You know, and give it that kind of longevity. But, dude, it's week one. I'm willing to see.
So you're not going to be one of the ones that goes, man, I just straight hate it, you know, or I straight love it. It's just, it was interesting.
Yeah, I can't really judge right now.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's one to, you know, that's, listen, it's something that's just been tried. live.
Sure.
That's like me watching AEW and just saying that, oh, because they had a match in a football arena, that is stupid. You know, they should never do that. It's like that was fucking enjoyable.
Right.
So let's see what happens.
Simon Street, what's your take when you saw that, man? And, you know, what's your take on Raw Underground in general? And then what Lance Storm had to say about what he think the issue may become?
Well, first of all, I'll just do the easy answer, the easy question. Lance Storm is exactly right. You have something that could potentially be really, really good. But the problem is you don't want to overshadow the product you have pre-existing. Matt Michaels gave a perfect example of that. And I was even thinking the same thing when I saw Dolph Ziggler. Like, he looked like a goddamn stud down there. You know what I mean? He looked right at home like it was Fight Club. I was like, but bruh, you've been choking the chicken upstairs. What's going on?
With J1s on.
Yeah, with J1s. as McMahon pointed out, I love the new J1s.
Yeah.
But on the positive side, you know, hopefully they'll figure it out. As Michael said, it's only week one. The things that I saw that I liked is I like the ambiance of it. It was kind of like PG-13 of Fight Club, you know what I mean, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff they need to add. I want some cash. You know, them strippers on the pole, their feet hurt. They deserve to be paid, and someone should be throwing some money at them. You're on USA. There's other shows on USA that are way worse, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, but also, too, I think it was a good vehicle for the Hurt Business, and this is what I'd like to see. That don't mean we're going to get that. I'd like to see them have a slice of pie, but mostly for a vehicle for MVP, be kind of like a crime lord type of thing. Like, his domain is the underground Raw. Do you see what I'm saying? Or he works the underground Raw, you know, and make it separate. But here's the thing. I would prefer to see it at some point be its own show, maybe on the network. That's all it is, its own show on the network. Maybe it comes on right after Raw. We might not get that because they were making it seem like, I think Shane did say, this is like the new third hour of Raw. I think, did he say something to that degree? Did I hear that?
He did, and then we didn't actually get a third hour.
No, we didn't.
Of the product. You know, spliced intermittently. That's what was.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if they scrap that and then use this as like a pilot per se. This is what I would want, my wish list. Make it a pilot and then have it be something that's on the network for people who still pay for the network. And as Matt Michael said, have it for younger guys to showcase the talent. It's another vehicle to showcase who they are instead of what we've been trying to do with these younger people. It's a new creative idea. Why not? What's a better way to see what someone's got? If some guy that just pops off the street per se, you know, put them in an unsanctioned underground match. You know what I mean? Have that then be where you have 13 guys who are unsigned in your storyline. Whoever wins a tournament, an underground tournament, gets a call up. You know, you can spin it 50 different ways. There's potential, but I agree with Lance Storm. WWE is going to have to be very tactical with how they do this because I was very intrigued by it, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that was intrigued by it and may like it better than the product.
Oh, boy. Sin City Steve, what's your take, man, on what you saw and what Lance Storm had to say about it?
So I heard about essentially what was going to happen. So I was spoiled on it because, again, I catch the West Coast feed of Raw.
And I chose to
not comment.
He's in a certain chat room with someone who's not here tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing happened to me.
And I don't go to that, so I'm so happy I don't look at it.
Yeah, so basically...
I took myself off.
Basically, I wanted to reserve comment until I saw it all. What I saw actually reminded me completely of an old-school Xbox game that I absolutely loved, Def Jam Vendetta.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. Yes.
And I was a huge mark for that game, dude. I 100%ed that game. I thought that it was so fucking dope for its time. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a great idea. It all depends on the execution. Now, how things fell out after week one, it came off hokey to me, the way that everything ended. But they at least have my attention for next week. And I think that that's really all that they could ask for is, again, they're being creative. And me as a lapsed fan, or, you know, you could call disgruntled fan, you can call it whatever. Ultimately, you're going to need to do certain things like this in order to bring those people back to the product. You're going to have to show them that you are willing to step outside of the box, think against what has been the case for God knows how long. And if it doesn't work and it sucks, then oh well, but at least they're trying something. Yeah. I will never fault them for that. And, you know, what's the best that we could have come out of this? Okay, you can use this as a vehicle to build new stars. I mean, it was perfect what they did with Babatunde. They made the guy look like a fucking monster. He's been in like the Saudi battle royals and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they made him look like, you know, a pretty badass dude.
Yeah.
On those occasions, but there was never any follow-up. But now you've got a great avenue and a great venue where he can grow into something and segue himself into, like what Street had mentioned, into the main 2 hours of Raw. And you can do that with certain people. Hell, you could do that with certain people that have fallen down on their luck. Mm-hmm. Instead of sending them to NXT, you could have them to go down to the Raw Underground to fight their way back and build that into a rehabilitation type of a push. I think that this adds a completely new dimension and a new bag of tricks that they can pull from. I'm very optimistic, and I know that that's really strange coming from me, speaking about WWE programming, but I'm very optimistic to see how they go, where they go from here, and how they follow up. Because the first episode wasn't great in execution, but I can see what I would like the vision to be. Mm-hmm. And if my vision of what I would like to see lines up with their vision of what they're going to do, then it's going to be good. But I'm going to reserve full judgment until I see the path that they actually go down.
Yeah.
You're such a stripper.
But, you know,
teasing us, getting us all excited.
Hey, man. But Steve, you just made a very good point, and that's the point that I was trying to make, too, about why AEW needs to build that number. It's new eyes.
Yeah.
And with Raw's numbers going down, and again, I'll be the first to say, Raw needs to get their fucking shit together. Because with the numbers going down, you want to get more eyes. You know, and that's what it comes down to. Now, if you want to do something fucking brilliant, please, Uncle Bruce, if you're watching, take that. Please, I'm giving this to you. You have a buildup of one guy, you know, not someone necessarily that you're going to push to the moon, but someone who you want to look very strong and very fairly unbeatable in that realm of the underground fight. Then you have a masked man come in and fight him. And when he beats the guy, he gets a contract. And when he wins,
we lost you, bro.
You're glitching.
Okay. Am I back?
You're back now.
Okay. So you have a masked man come in and fight, and when he takes off his mask after he wins a contract to wrestle on Raw, it's Heath Slater.
That would be some slick ass shit. That would be some slick ass shit.
There you go.
You know how Bruce, I like to see?
Bruce.
Can I add a wish list to that just for a quick second? There's just one name that I want to see in the WWE for sure. I'm sure he'll get there. Maybe we'll see. His daddy is a stud, as we all know. But I'd like to see him in this type of arena, even if it's a one-off, and that's Brock Lesnar's son. That is a bad motherfucker. Have y'all had a chance to see him at all?
I haven't.
No.
This dude right here is, I mean, we obviously have to see what he looks like in the ring, but I'm saying something like that I'd like to see. Versus him being in the ring and be called up, you know, type of thing. I'd like to see him in that environment. What would y'all say to that?
It all depends, man. It all depends on if they pass the screen test.
Well, he's definitely gonna pass. I think his name's Luke. He's definitely gonna pass Vince McMahon's screen test. He just built just like your daddy, his daddy. So
that's one type of screening.
Exactly.
I did enjoy the music in the background of the of that. That's cool. I really enjoy that as well.
And you can incorporate live bands.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah.
Reminds me of the ECW. Remember ECW did that for a while, right when they came to. Right when they first got bought out by Raw. I mean by WWE. Remember they started having like live bands and stuff like that. I mean, it was a little hokey, but that was a cool thing that they added to it. You know, interesting.
So
NXT's done it too. So you know.
But the main thing is that everyone would agree on is that WWE talent, existing talent now, should not be a part of Raw Underground. There should be all new people they're introducing.
Should be to all us. New people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would prefer people that we've never seen before.
Yeah. Okay.
Like not even in NXT.
Right.
Okay.
Like use this as an avenue so that you can cultivate your performance center people.
And if you are going to use a team like, you know, if you're going to have one of the Viking Raiders in there, then end their gimmick on Raw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let them concentrate on being those types of guys, or break them up and have one down there and one on the main roster and get rid of the Viking.
Okay. Yep.
Now, let me ask you this. To use Sin City Steve's word of continuity, how would it be that even if we bring in the newer talent into Raw Underground and they're using sort of this MMA style or what I like to call Thatcher wrestling style, and then now they're getting moved up to, you know, the regular product that we see. That's not what we see a lot of. Isn't that going to be completely different in some way?
Because they could use that as their gimmick.
Right.
This is a built-in gimmick for anybody who's started out in the underground.
Okay.
This could be utilized as their gimmick, and you know it could be used as a way to show that you know that they're good in the you know in the underground style of fighting, but when the ropes get put up there and you know this. The sports entertainment stuff kicks on that, you know, that's not their realm. So it's, you know, they're not as adept as what the seasoned Raw superstars are.
And what that creates, you know, to Steve's point is that creates then an obstacle for that person that used to, so they're going to be fighting in a style that is very much against what a referee would consider legal, and you're going to have a lot of disqualifications. Exactly. You're going to have a lot of not stopping.
That's a good point.
Fuck finishes. Remember how
Shamrock used to snap that ankle. He'd win the match, but then he'd hold it and hold it and hold it, and then they'd reverse the decision because he still hasn't let go. You have those kind of people, fighters.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Fuck, I mean, look at Shamrock shape. You could bring Shamrock to fucking put someone over down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he could still go.
Although he's on Impact's roster, so.
DJ, you mentioned a name of somebody that I think actually could be somebody that would flourish in that environment, and that's Tim Thatcher.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
He would be absolutely perfect. And a lot of people were questioning how Timothy Thatcher could slide into a spot on the main roster right there. You've got a custom made environment for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So ultimately who's going to run the underground? Is it still Shane McMahon or is it the Hurt Business or is it like a joint project or.
I don't think the Hurt Business can have anything to do with it after this week.
Yeah. I think they just popped down there just to say, fuck you. We're the Hurt Business. Eat shit.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous to have them go back down there.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do every single week? Go back down there and just,
then you're destroying what you're trying to create. So
that's true. Who would y'all like to see run it if not Shane McMahon?
I say keep Shane there.
Paul, I mean, I don't have a problem with it being Shane, honestly. I mean, you know, it's obvious that they've gone as far as to like want to have a McMahon in charge, and if that's the case, okay, your choices are going to be really limited. You're going to be stuck with Vince, Shane, Stephanie, or Linda. Take your pick.
Can you imagine Linda? Can you imagine
zombie Linda? Bring her ass back.
Oh, that would be... I'd actually be cool with that. For like a week.
No, well, Shane needs to run it.
Yeah.
Shane needs to run it. And honestly, now that we're talking about it, it wouldn't surprise me if... fucking Timothy Thatcher isn't leading that Retribution stable.
Mm.
Now that I think about it, that makes sense. Because what if the whole time he's been training these people?
And he's been talking about his students.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to that the only weird thing that would the promos he's been doing, they almost lend as a little goofy, a little fluffy.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, but that, I mean, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
There we go, Bruce. One more.
Well, I will say this. I don't think all of us on the panel, and I'm pretty sure King Lucky would have flip-flopped to whatever the majority were saying, what we've said so far, but SmackDown has garnered our attention more than it has in quite some time.
Yeah.
SmackDown doesn't have anything to do with this, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no. Well, we talked about the Retribution is what I'm talking about, you know, because we had just mentioned the Retribution.
Okay. All right, ADD boy.
What if it's all connected? It doesn't matter. What if it's all connected? What if the Underground and the Retribution is connected? Did anybody ever think of that?
I doubt it is. All right. No. Let's go over to our... All right, next
now
topic.
Now I realize why I need King Lucky on the show.
Wrestling Inc. Let's go.
Wow.
All right, here's our
King Lucky, you got to come back so you can be ass boy.
All right.
I have no idea what the fuck just happened.
No, ass boy. You know, the one that gets muted all the time. We share it on the show, me and him.
Cool.
All right. Let's get to our third topic. It is from WrestlingInc.com. It's titled, Impact Executives Say They Are Open to Promoting FTR versus the North Interpromotional Match with AEW. So, just to kind of run down a little bit on what took place here. What are y'all laughing at?
I got a new name.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm an ass boy, and King Lucky, when he come back, is ass monkey.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't know why I stopped. All right. So here's the deal. There was just a bunch of tweets that went out, and Dax had pretty much tweeted that, and this was, I guess, right after their match that they had. Was that part of that 12-man? He says, real quick, this is what makes us a great tag team, not fancy double teams, not 30-second sequences, keeping the fresh man in, using your partner, knowing where each other is at all times, feeding him, and he execute. That's all. Back to the ice. Now it's from Dax there. And interestingly, you eventually get Ethan Page now. He's now from the North. That says, this is why we need to work ASAP. Dax then jumped right back on the tweet and says, I'm begging you, we need to talk to our bosses. And then what do you know? Scott D'Amore from Impact Wrestling Executive says, well, Dax, you know, I have mad respect for you and Cash Wheeler. I can assure you that at Impact Wrestling supports making it happen. How about a home and home series between FTR and the North? And then they says, hey, La Champion which is Jericho, how do we make this happen? Cash Wheeler jumps in, hey, get our numbers from the Good Brothers. So, like, hey, you know, that's a good way now to get the telephone numbers because they're now a part of Impact. And then, of course, Scott says, hey, we respect all contractual relationships. So if your bosses will come to the table, let's get it done. So this was just pretty interesting because I have many times thought about this, and I think I've even mentioned it. I possibly either could hear, either heard Matt Michaels tell me before or just imagine him telling me just how stupid that would be for, yeah, there you go. That's what I thought, for having wrestlers come from different wrestling organizations to, but I saw that and I see that being a win-win for both. Now, I don't know if it might be a win for WWE. You know, I guess they are the big behemoth. So if they were to do something like this with any other company, it would mainly benefit the other company and not WWE. So they probably would not want to. Although I could even make a case that I still think it could be a benefit for them as well. But why not have the opportunity of having a match, even if it's a one-time one-time match ever, maybe one time during the year. I don't know, maybe just a blue moon where they set something up where they have a big match that happened between two wrestlers from two different organizations to actually fight. And, you know, they could come together and figure out how it works with all the numbers and all that so everyone could be compensated and all that work out. But why would that be an issue? Could you guys see this actually happen where you can have the North and FTR doing a match? You know, Scott says, hey, I'll come to the table already. So if Tony Khan was to come, could you see that being a benefit? Even reading some of the comments, just from the article, and there were eight of them. Every last one of them, it was even like in support of it. Most of the time, you'll get one.
Eight of them.
Huh?
Oh. There were eight of them.
Yeah. You know, but even they seem like they were supportive of them. You know, sometimes you'll read them and they'll be like, that's a horrible, it sucks, blah, blah, blah. What's your guys' take on that, though? I mean, do you see like something, even if it's not a FTR in the North, maybe it could be something, somebody else, you know, in another organization. But could you kind of see this being a benefit for two companies? Anyone?
I think without a doubt, I'll go ahead and go.
Yeah.
I think that this would benefit both Impact and AEW without question.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's be real. Who's to say that it's limited to just this particular match? Before you roll your eyes, Michaels, okay, New Japan and Ring of Honor have had a very constructive working relationship for several years. That relationship has been strained in recent years, but what that has allowed to happen was it allowed for some great matches that, quite frankly, I didn't think that I would have the benefit of seeing live. And thankfully, that was really truly what got me interested in New Japan, was being able to see these guys, you know, here in the States. And this was right at the same time that obviously they were having their expansion. So, you know, I would be completely cool with having one show a year or, you know, whatnot, where it's essentially Impact versus AEW. And I legitimately think that both sides would benefit from it. One thing that you could definitely see is that obviously, it goes without saying that, you know, having some of the Impact knockouts go up against some of AEW's women in the women's division,
mm-hmm.
That is clearly going to, you know, benefit the AEW side because they're not on the level of Impact as far as their women's division. The tag team division, arguably, is a lot closer in this disparity, but I do believe that AEW has a better tag division than Impact does. So I think that both sides would gain from something along this line, you know, as far as having a working relationship for one show a year. And why the hell not? We've floated the idea numerous times on this show of WWE being the behemoth, as we just said, and other federations or other associations working together, because at the end of the day, when the tide rolls in, all boats rise.
I'm agreeing with that. Before we let Matt
go ahead, Michaels, I know you're going to rip it apart.
Well,
I'll talk to Ass Boy first.
Oh, Jesus. Now I see.
All right, Ass Boy, okay. Let us know.
All right. So I believe that as much as I would like to see a duplicate or similar to what Ring of Honor and New Japan had, I also see the flaw in it. And the one flaw is everybody is nice and playing with each other until somebody steals somebody else's person or manipulates, or they jump ship over, you know, because they're disgruntled with where they're at. I think that that's when it becomes a problem. The one thing I did like that Sin City C did say, and I'd like it to be just strictly that, is have an event once a year. Probably not put no titles on the line, to be honest with you, and it'd be like a showcase. It, to me, ignorantly enough, would be safe enough to where it's just a one-time deal. We're getting people together so you can see matches you don't normally see, because I feel like that's the buy-in for me of why I would want to see something like that happen. But I get the politics side of it to where it will become problematic if it's a regular business relationship, such as what started happening with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro.
Why not create maybe, I don't know what to call it, an all wrestling league belt, so that it's not no one's real belt. It's just a belt that represents all wrestling organizations. So if you did have one, you know, you got someone who can claim. I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me go back to you, hey. Ass Boy, because Matt Michaels is steady. His head's gonna fall off if he keeps going left and right with it. So finish your thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Getting back to you, King Lucky, with the everybody has a championship belt. Because that sounded like a King Lucky comment. It really did. I got to call you out on that one.
But no, I'm not.
I get why you said that, though.
No, I'm just saying because you were saying that you believe that there should just be a match where there is no title, just a showcase.
None.
What I'm saying is, why not just have why not have a title, not using their own individual titles from the company, but just have sort of a, you know, a wrestling league title, you know, as if they're all like one world title. No one technically.
How do you defend that, though? Do you just defend that every year anniversary?
Well, if you said you're going to do this every year, then you can do that. Yeah. If that's it wasn't why I every
said
year.
No titles. Well, that's why I said no titles.
Okay.
Because for me, and I could be wrong, and I think Sin City C agreed with me when I said it, the buy-in is seeing matchups that we wouldn't see because they're separate on different brands. I feel that if you keep it simplistic just for that and keep it simple, stupid, it can work. But if you're trying to have a relationship, it's going to equal out what happened with Ring of Honor in New Japan. I guarantee it, because there's going to be somebody that don't like the way stuff is run, and then they just jump ship. Or somebody who was promising they were going to stay on the contract and stay here and still work both, and then they just jump ship. Some even jump ship and made their own ship.
Yeah, so but I mean, you can't do that if you're still under contract. You just can't jump ship.
But the people who did do that were out of their contract and made, I wouldn't say falsities because I wasn't in their camp like that, but they made it seem like they were going to stay with a certain promotion and then left. And again, nobody wants to play ball like that too much. But I would like to see it once a year, like Sin City Steve said. It sounds like a great idea. If we could do that once a year to showcase, especially for tag team, I would say more importantly for tag teaming, that would be great.
Matt Michaels, what's wrong with Scott D'Amore saying, look, I'm willing to come to the table, go grab your boss, and let's see how we can make this work? What's wrong with it?
Okay.
so there's nothing conceptually wrong with that. Okay?
Okay.
He's got every right to do that. Fine. Here's the problem. AEW is trying to establish themselves as an alternative to WWE. All right? In doing so, they right now, if you are doing it on a one-off, they don't gain anything. So if you put that women's division from Impact, which is stronger than AEW's, and you have a relationship, now you're going to have to expect AEW is going to want their women to go over on your women. And vice versa, if you think that the tag team division in AEW is stronger than Impact's, then why does AEW want any of the Impact guys going over on their guys? All right? Because logistically, here's a company that has a lot at stake, and here's Impact Wrestling, which doesn't have as much at stake. So Impact gets all the rub. Simple as that. Next point. When Vince McMahon was raiding all the independents of the NWA and the...
Glitch time.
Caught in the Matrix.
He'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
He will.
He's
give it some time.
He's on that different internet service.
He's almost like Goldust. Remember when Goldust would go,
Oh, God. I think he's back, man. Go ahead, man.
He's finish back. It up. Go ahead, man.
So when Vince was raiding everything,
mm-hmm.
the NWA, AWA, and some of the remaining companies would put on the Super Show. It was essentially the end of all those companies. Because you brought together all this talent, you shot your load, all this money into this one thing, but there was never going to be any kind of delivery, right? So you get to see a matchup you might never see before, but you see it once, and that's it. The problem is this. Why the fuck would you sign with AEW FTR if you wanted so badly to wrestle the North? You signed an Impact, right? But they're not going to sign an Impact because AEW is a bigger fucking stage. So it just doesn't make any logistical sense. And if you put all, you know, if you start bringing Ring of Honor in and New Japan in and you're doing one Super Show, okay, but then you do have to have titles on the line. And the main title that needs to be on the line is AEW's, because they're the company that is basically risking all their reputation. You're also...
So let me ask you, so you're under the impression, though, that if this was to happen, whoever loses that match representing that company now will make that company who lost pretty much look like shit and make the company who won look like winners to the point where go ahead.
I'm not even saying that company. I'm saying AEW has everything to lose.
Because they're trying to build their companies.
They're trying to build their company.
Yeah.
Why in the fuck would you?
Right now's not a good time.
Yeah. Why would you ever agree to have any of your wrestlers lose to anyone in any other company?
That makes no sense. I didn't think of that. That's a good point.
Especially if you, I mean, they're putting so much money into this, and they're trying to build these guys, and honestly. When contracts go up for Impact and Ring of Honor and New Japan and, you know, MLW and, you know, et cetera, AEW is going to be first in line for a lot of these guys to go to. So
why is there an immediacy? And again, the only people who get the rub are the companies who AEW is gracefully allowing to do this. It just doesn't, it doesn't add up. Now, if we are doing a fantasy scenario, that would be mind-blowing. You have FTR and the North wrestle on Raw Underground.
Well, that's not going to fucking happen.
Let me ask you.
But that would be amazing.
Sin City, yeah. Sin City Steve, let me ask you a question, being that you are a fan of AEW. If FTR and the North had a match, wherever they had it, and the North beat FTR, as a fan of AEW, does that change your perception of either FTR or AEW as the as a company?
No.
And I wouldn't think so.
The reason being is, at the end of the day, I just want a good match.
Right. Exactly.
But see, again, you're looking at it from the perspective of someone.
Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing. He did, in my defense, he asked me as a fan.
Yes.
So I'm answering as a fan. As a business person, if I'm Tony Khan, there's no fucking way that my team loses.
But even let's take the business aspect out of it. You're a seasoned wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about now is this aspect, and that is simple. You're watching AEW. You don't watch other wrestling. You don't know any other wrestling. You are getting to know FTR because you didn't necessarily watch WWE, let's say. You know, hey, you're 16 years old, 12 years old, whatever.
Right.
Now you have a tag team coming from somewhere else, coming in, having one match, beating FTR, and then never coming back. That makes no sense. The continuity, which is what we're, you know, ultimately all looking for, is good continuity. You would literally have to basically listen. ECW, right? When they came into the WWE, what's the one thing they didn't do? They didn't actually wrestle WWF guys on TV. They wrestled their own guys. So that's the kind of thing, even back then, the WWF fans got fucking confused. Like, who the fuck are these guys? Because that promotion was so small to the East Coast that people from the Midwest and the West Coast had no idea who these guys were. So in theory, yeah, of course, wrestling fans want to see this, of course, because it's like, oh, wow, you know, this couldn't happen. It happened. But at the same time, realistically, it just does not make sense. Now, what would benefit AEW is if they negotiated something like this, I think that the exchange would be this. We'll allow you guys to come in here. We'll allow you guys to have various matches. But we want Don Callis or we want Jimmy Jacobs. Give us a creative mind in exchange. We ain't even going to talk money, right? You know, you guys don't have to give us a share. We'll pay your guys. That's fine. But we want someone who's on your staff who's great creatively. And I'm telling you right now, if Don Callis or Jimmy Jacobs comes into AEW, could be a game changer.
Out of doubt.
It's very, 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 very good point. I'd like to see that happen. That's definitely a game changer.
Okay. Anybody else want to mention anything else about that? I thought this was a pretty interesting topic because it seemed like it would be something great to see amongst promotions. But Matt Michaels comes pretty strong on that.
Well, you redeemed yourself. That one article was hot garbage. So you really redeem yourself with these last two, especially this one.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. let's do our final thoughts and we'll get out of here. So let's start with you. It says ass boy, so I'm gonna go with that. Ass boy, what is your
say it with your chest, god dang it.
What would be your final
say my name? I'm playing. Look guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Thank you for the support. If you're new to the podcast or to the stream, subscribe, like, follow us. The app is here. It is a new way for you to interact with us and to gain access to all of our products. As far as for everybody else, never say never. You know what I mean? Right now, everybody should be writing down their goals and dreams and making a plan to shoot for it, even in these times of COVID. You can build a whole bunch of steps to launch yourself once COVID is clear. So if anybody's doing that right now, I'm sending positive energy your way. Hopefully those things can happen for you, whether it's a job, whether it's strengthening your family, whatever it is that's going to put you in the positive. Simon Street and the Vegas Bad Boys are sending positive energy your way. You can do it.
All right. Thank you much. Sin City Steve.
All right, guys. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's liked, shared, subscribed, downloaded the app, all that kind of fun stuff. Literally, this show would be nothing without you guys. So thank you so much for everything. Obviously, I've mentioned it every week. Vegas Bad Boys brought to you by Rep Sports. They've got all of your pre-workout, weight loss, general wellness and energy drink needs. Rep Sports, that's REPPsports.com. Go there, use the promo code Vegas at checkout, save yourself 15%. Again, Rep Sports, REPPsports.com, promo code Vegas at checkout, save 15%.
Awesome, thank you much. Matt Michaels.
Couple quick things. This week we'll be releasing a debate. It's going to be on the WWE versus AEW. It's going to be on the audio podcast. So look forward to that. That'll come out at some point this week. It's a really good debate. It was a master debate, yeah. Yeah, there was an explosion. but our own Sin City Steve took part in that. And some really good opinions, really good thoughts, and by no means we give opinions of perspectives, but there's we want nothing more than to see AEW succeed, and we also want to see WWE continue to develop people and keep itself successful, because in the end, the idea here is we want people working. We got a lot of friends in this business, and the last thing you want to do is see your friends out of work. Yeah. So that's important. On Friday, you can check out the podcast on audio and on YouTube. Goldilocks, who was with TNA back in the early 2000s. One of our favorite people, dear, sweet person. Mm-hmm. She has a new song out with the Goldilocks band. I'll tell you, it's called All For You, and it is very moving. Brings up a lot of points about God and suicide prevention, and it's a very interesting take. You'll see some members of the band, as well as one person who was in the video, who was in WCW. You remember him as Kiwi, and that's Alan Funk. So it's a really entertaining show. It's a really moving show, and don't miss that one. And finally, earlier on this evening, a couple hours ago, we learned that James Harris, who was Kamala, has passed away. He had been battling health issues since about 2011. He lost both his legs over that time period between 2011 and now. And as reports are slowly coming out, it seems to have been related to COVID and to, you know, his prior conditions and illnesses. He was only 70 years old. I know that that might seem, you know, like he lived a long life, but at the same time, it's just too soon. Especially for someone who, you know, the last 10 years of his life, it's been a big struggle. Cauliflower Alley Club, they helped him out when he was needing assistance in paying medical bills. And, you know, the gimmick itself, now it looks so dated and so racist, you know, to have a Ugandan headhunter who doesn't speak and runs around, you know, eating chickens and, you know. But he was one of the most entertaining heels of his time. And in the days where you had a guy like Hulk Hogan on top, if there weren't guys like Kamala, Hulk Hogan wouldn't have meant shit. The business wouldn't have boomed as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys like him made guys like Hogan look like $1 million. So rest in peace, Kamala, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt Michaels. Again, we thank everybody for listening to the show. Well, we do this weekly. We do it for you. We thank you for tuning in, for also going to our social media. Don't be afraid to tell other folks that you know who enjoy wrestling about us. We would appreciate it. Just say, hey, have you heard of Vegas Bad Boys? And more likely, they'll probably say, no. You should say, hey, give them a listen. Go to your podcast and just look for Vegas Bad Boys. And if you run into an issue like I do with some, where I get some that say, I don't even know where my podcast app looked like. I've had some people with phones go, I've deleted that app because I don't use it. If you have that, tell them, hey, just then download the app. You know, download the Vegas Bad Boys app. Either way, if you have the podcast app or you get our app, you will be able to know what we're doing and listen to our shows and have access to the videos and everything else. So we appreciate it all. And we will be back next week. So until then, you all take care. Boys of Podcasting.